A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 10 December 2024. It's a Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansiyin Pusa. Namo Guansiyin Pusa. Namo Guansiyin Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Mila Fo, Namo Mila Fo, Namo Mila Fo, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Dichang Wang Pusa, Namo Dichang Wang Pusa, Namo Dichang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang namami. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surame raya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. We shall continue our chanting from Padipa Puja onward. Ganna sarappa dittena dipena tamadangsina. Tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yutena ตุเปนาหังสุกังหินาปูจาเยปูจานิยังตังปูจาปัจจานะโมตะมังวันนากันดากุโนเปตังเอตังกุสุมาสันตตินปูจายามิมุนินดาสะสิริปาดาสโรโรเหปูเจมิบดังคสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามเตนาเจโหตุโมคังปูปังเมลายติยตาอิดังเมกายโยตตายติวินาสบาวังอาทิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาทิวาเสตุโนวันเตปาเลปริกาปิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาทิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุโมตะมัง Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings.Significance of offering of light. May these offerings of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma.That cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of this merit, born of these offerings,May our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them.Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect Tripajam. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami.For those who are new, you can just relax your body and mind and let go of everything. Yeah? No need to think, no need to worry, just allow the mind to settle down and maintain silent within, quiet. Yeah. For those who have developed some form of training, you must remember the four support that will support you to develop the tranquility of mind, the inner awareness within. So what you need to do is you must learn how to relax. Relax completely your body and mind. Feel your body and mind completely relaxed. And no need to know, no need to think. Just relax. Then whatever arises, maintain awareness. Anything that comes to your senses, like your hearing, thinking, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, even whatever you perceive through your senses, your seeing, your hearing, your smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, you just maintain awareness. So after you are able to relax, you maintain awareness. The moment you are aware, no need to continue with the thinking. Just aware and finish, silent. Whatever that come into contact with your senses, aware. Then let it be. Maintain the ability to be quiet, peaceful, and silent within. So ability to relax and maintaining this silence is very important. Then continue to let the mind settle down until the ability to become very quiet, very peaceful, stabilized. Yeah. These are the first three support that can help you develop the quiet mind, the peaceful mind, the inner awareness. When you are aware, there is no thought. You're just in a state of complete relaxed inner awareness. And when you are aware, there is no thought. You just develop the ability to be aware. Means experience the tranquility, the stillness, and the silence within. Then for those who already have the ability to develop the inner awareness through the mindfulness training or awareness-based training, you can stay at the heart area. Then let it detect whatever vibration or heartbeat that you can sense, become sensitive of. So whatever that come to your awareness, feel it, and allow the mind to be with it. Yeah. Then let the nature develop its own internal movement. Means you move on to the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your nature to develop the meditative peace, the inner peace and inner calmness. So silence everything, maintain awareness at the heart area, and just allow it to be. Whatever arise, follow. Body and mind move as one. Your awareness and the vibration or heartbeat or whatever that you come to perceive, just let it become one. Then this will enable the meditative movement to develop within. So developing the inner awareness is very important. This is what we call training your mind to be very quiet, very peaceful, and very still, to allow you to return the heedless thinking mind to its original state of tranquility and stillness. And that mind is just aware, nothing else. So I will set the alarm for 30 minutes and you continue to train. Those who are familiar with object of meditation, you can use the object of meditation to anchor your mind, then relax into it, maintain awareness, and let the mind settle down until it becomes very quiet and very peaceful. Yeah. So this is awareness-based meditation. Yeah. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Yeah? Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Yeah? Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release. Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalisu atra gacchantu devata Saddhamman Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadam Dhamma Savanankalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayam Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vijacharana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Sakasango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Sakasango Yaya Patipano Bhagavato Sakasango Samichi Patipano Bhagavato Sakasango Yadidang Chatari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. So we'll continue from where we stop. We are at volume 4, chapter 3, a parable, page 228 at the end, I think. This one is based on the new book. So Master Xuan Hua continued. He said, I have not finished the topic of being beaten up. So now I would like to speak a little more. As practitioner or cultivator of the Buddha Dharma, we must pay attention to the practice of patience or cultivation of Kanti. Kanti is patient endurance. If you overlook it, you will not recognize situation when you encounter them, and the fire of your ignorance will blaze 30,000 feet into the air, burning up all your merits and virtue. As I said before when explaining the Universal Door chapter, firewood gathered for 1,000 days burns up by a single spark placed with one match. You can burn up the firewood you have gathered over 1,000 days. This saying illustrates the importance of patience. So this analogy is quite good. Normally, when you get angry, it's like you have a matchstick. Suddenly, you actually cause the matchstick fire to burn. Then that spark, if you are not careful, it can trigger a very major happening. Just like the example that they have given. The firewood that you have gathered for very long, when you have a match to actually light it up, it can burn. And it can burn until the fire become very, very strong. So what was mentioned is like it can blaze up to 30,000 feet. So here, the analogy of gathering all the firewood over 1,000 days, you stockpile them up, then you burn them. So getting angry, emotional, or fearful, all these are negativity of mind state. They are like the match fire that can trigger off disaster, suffering, misery. So never, never arise any anger in you. If you don't have the Dhamma, you can be easily agitated or affected by situation. Small thing can make you unhappy, miserable, sad, then sometimes develop anger, envy, jealousy. All these are negativity of mindset. That's why having patience to maintain your calm mind is very important. When you have patience and endurance, you can confront many things. You can be at peace with all situations. But it's not easy. We are living being emotional. Whatever they hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, or even recall through memory, it can trigger off emotional negativity. Sometimes due to your ability to recall or recollect the scar of memory. This scar of memory or your phobia, your so-called insecurity, they can trigger fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, leading to misery, mental suffering. So all these are very important teachings or Dhamma advice. That's why whatever happens, do not get angry, do not fear, do not worry. We have no amount of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation or anger can help you with your problem. You can only resolve your problem amicably through wisdom, through understanding. So no need to worry about things. No amount of worry, fear, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation can help you. All situations need to be understood and resolved amicably through understanding, following the Dhamma way, which is to follow the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why cultivation involves, finally, the cultivation of wisdom. We are developing the cultivation of these Noble Eightfold Path factors. Okay, I read on that. With one match, you can burn up the firewood you have gathered over 1,000 days. This saying illustrates the importance of patience, which we have gone through. We should take a look at ourselves. Do we have afflictions? Affliction means mental suffering, unhappiness, sometimes sorrow, lamentation, depressive mind state, negativity of mind states. So when you inquire, do you have affliction, you will be able to find out for yourself. But when you are mindful and sensitive, you can know immediately. Even the slightest uneasiness or very subtle fear, worry, anxiety, you can detect them. That's why mindfulness is very important. Ability to be mindful is to have the ability to have the silent mind in quiet inner awareness, to be sensitive. Yeah. When you are without thought, you will be in that state of tranquility and stillness. Because without thought, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation. There is no emotion at all. Because all this emotion, like fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, they are dependent originating mind state. Because you create thinking, wrong thought, that it will trigger fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Of course, when you recall or think of happy things, it will trigger all happy emotion, good emotion. Then when you become successful, when you do things well and you are rewarded, you develop good emotion. So ability to sense our emotion or feeling is very important, especially your suffering, your afflictions, things that make you miserable, unhappy. Yeah. So when you are able to check, then you can develop the understanding. The progress comes from being more and more aware, more and more sensitive. Then when you have more and more of this ability to be aware of your mind, you will know how to understand many things and develop a lot of understanding regarding life, existence. Then you will understand the Dhamma easily. I will read on. If you don't have any of this affliction, means you have mastered the teaching, the Buddha Dharma. The Dharma is the teachings of the Buddha. So Buddha Dharma is the Buddha's teaching. So if you don't have any affliction or problem, which means you have mastered the Buddha Dharma. If you still have affliction, sorrow, lamentation, fear, worry, anxiety, unhappiness, means you have to strive on harder in your cultivation. Affliction should not arise even when you are blown by the eight winds. They have actually defined it under note 16. But these are four pairs of what we call worldly conditions. Because when we go through life, when we live life, we will encounter them. That's why they call it the eight winds, because there are four pairs of them. So these are the worldly conditions that will manifest. So here under note 16, I will read to you the eight winds. They say the eight winds are praise, ridicule or blame. Then here they put suffering and joy. Actually it's happiness and sorrow. Then the other one is, how come they put benefit and harm? Now my see, gain and loss are the first pair actually. Wherever there is gain, there is loss. And we often heard of this, what they call zero-sum theory. It's like you play a game of chance or cards or whatever. Somebody will win, somebody will lose. So my teacher have a very good way of understanding this. He said, whatever you have gained, you will finally lose them because you cannot take them along. Then when you are confronted with loss, you see, when you lose something, he said, if you reflect deep into it, whatever loss that you think you encounter is what you have gained before. Because before you have not, he always said. Because when we are born into this world, we came with nothing. That's why the famous saying of the Mahayana, Lai e kong, means you came with nothing. Why? When our parents give birth to us, we came empty, nothing. Then when you leave the world, you cannot take along anything. That's why qi e kong. So whatever you think you have is actually what you have gained before you lose it. But there is one aspect of thing that people felt very difficult to comprehend and understand. Because when they go and leverage, when they go and borrow, sometimes it's to do business, sometimes it's they want to make back what they have lost. So they go and borrow from loan shark, they go and pun, they go and gamble, bet, casino and all things. Then they lose it. So when they lose that one, of course they will say, I have not gained that money, but I borrowed that money. Actually, borrowing is also something you think you have gained. You borrow from somebody, and that thing can be a materialistic wealth or money or whatever. Yeah. So whatever you borrow, you have to pay back. Then you go and take risk without proper mitigation measure of understanding whether it's business or what. You go and pun, you go and gamble, you are looking for trouble. Because you not only borrow and have to pay back, you lose what you borrow, you are going to be in a very bad situation. Because you lose what you borrow, you know? Means that become a real debt, no? If you have not lost it, it is still with you, understand? Maybe help you to tide over your difficult period, smoothen your cash flow, keep your business going, or keep your household going. Then later on, when you're able to make back the money, then you can pay it back. Yeah. So the first pair of worldly condition that living being always encounter is gain and loss. So always remember, wherever there is gain, there can also be losses. So gain and loss is a pair, a worldly condition that will manifest. Of course, living being hope to gain materialistic wealth, higher salary, promotion, bonus, and all those things. Then save, earn enough money, build up your wealth, buy property, buy car. Then sometime when you get married, have children, you also gain because you have your children. Then your sibling and all things. So these are what we call ownership that came to the individual, what they call living beings. Without them knowing, they take for granted. So they develop attachment. They call them my loved ones, my child, my children, my wife, my spouse, my parents, my brothers, my sister, my siblings. So all this you think belong to you. But like the Buddha said, everything that is born into this world is also of the nature to cease or finally will have to pass away. So birth and death are reality. They arise and it will follow. It goes the way of nature. So when you understand this, then you must be careful of this worldly condition, the first pair. So gain and loss, when you understand, then when it comes to investment, trying to own thing or whatever, when you have this Dhamma understanding, then you will not be afflicted. You will know how to confront them without any problem at all. Because you know these are reality, worldly condition. If I am not careful, I will lose them. Yeah. Wherever there is gain, there will be loss. These are worldly condition. You have to accept the reality. And the reason behind is not important unless you want to learn the skill of investment or what we call building up wealth to develop the ability to gain all this through the proper means, not through crooked way. Because there is a law that governs moral intention behind all our action, speech and thought process. So if you do it through unscrupulous way or immoral way, then whatever you gain, when the karmic repercussion or karmic fruition arise, you reap what you sow. then you will have to face the consequence of that karmic friction. So all these are what they call the worldly conditions, Dhamma. Then the other one is praise and blame. Always remember, when you do well, people will praise you, especially when we are young. When we behave, do well, our parents tend to praise us. When we go to school, when we do well, again, there will be praise. But then, one day you will make mistake, then people blame you, people scold you. People will say, how come you are so stupid now? So here, Xuan Hua used the word ridicule. It's actually praise and blame. Then the other one is happiness and sorrow. So happiness and sorrow are very common worldly conditions. Throughout the day, when you live your life, when things go your way, normally you become joyful, happy. But when things don't go your way, when you encounter the first noble truth, reality of birth, old age, sickness and death, separation from loved ones and prized possession, when you are with people whom you don't like, when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, when your expectations in life are not met, you suffer. So all these are the teaching. That's the first noble truth of dukkha, or suffering, or misery, or affliction. It's a very important noble truth. If you understand this noble truth, then you will understand life and you will know how to live life. Because according to the Buddha, when you go through life, if you live life long enough, you will confront this 8 type of reality which he proclaimed under the first noble truth. He told the monks at that time, or those who came and study under him, the devotees and the monks, the Sangha community. He said, there is this first noble truth that proclaim the noble truth of dukkha. He said, what constitutes dukkha or suffering or misery or affliction? He said, there are 8 type of worldly condition, reality within life and existence. These are reality, not the worldly condition. The worldly condition is different. These are the 8 realities of life and existence. So he said, when you confront them without this Dhamma understanding that he has taught us, you will develop the wrong view. You will attach, cling, grasp, and entangle yourself, that it will trigger mental suffering. And these 8 conditions are relatively easy to understand, except maybe the last one, the number 8 one. The first 4, he said, birth, old age, sickness and death, sen lao bing si. And these are worldly conditions. These are realities. Every living being that is born must go through old age, sickness and death, even getting injured, disease or whatever. But finally, with birth, there will be death. That's why with birth comes the whole mass of suffering, followed by old age, sickness, injury and death. Then separation is also a very great reality. Separation can happen in many ways. The Buddha said, when you lost your loved ones, when you lost what you thing you own and possess means your business. Financial crisis can trigger off business collapse or failure and losses. Then when you are confronted with situation where your wealth, your property, things that you hold on to dearly get stolen or encounter tragedy like nature's disaster, tsunami, or even hurricane, fire, etc., like the recent flood, and also I think happening all over the world, you have what they call very severe type of wind condition. They call by various type of names, hurricanes and very severe typhoon. Then also we have what we call separation from loved ones, people whom you actually have relationship. Then all this separation can be through natural death or disease or illness, traumatic disease and illness like heart attack and all those things. It can just die and separate from you. Then sometimes due to accident, then sometimes maybe due to unforeseen circumstances. Like today, the new setting in Thailand, somebody went for massage and he just died. Then sometimes it's due to earthquake. Building collapse and various type of nature's disaster. Then the next one is when you are with people whom you don't like. That one is very common too. These are realities, especially those who have stepmothers, stepparents, or people who are not so responsible in their duty. They tend to create what they call child abuse or sexual harassment, or even the kids in school. Sometimes they have to confront the gangsterism, bullies and all those things. So when you are with these people whom you don't like, especially mother-in-law or step-parents, you can actually develop what they call mental suffering, affliction, when you are being abused or physically harmed. Then the next one is when things don't go your way, when your expectations in life are not met. You expect your loved one to understand you, your good friend to understand you, your boss to promote you, but then that reality doesn't happen. Somebody else get promoted. Then when you are in trouble, even your thought will tell you, how come my own brothers and sisters also never come and help me? How come my neighbor are that so unfriendly? So these are the situation that living being will confront. Then there is also what we call career problem. When you are with the bosses that are not friendly, that actually put a lot of pressure on you. They call it management by fear and harassment. They harass you and put fear into you to deliver. So all these are the realities. Then finally the Buddha said, in short, it's due to your own scarcity, self-delusion, that belief that this so-called human being, for our case, the form and mind, you say, the five aggregates, is real, is you, is what you are. When you deludedly grasp and cling and hold on to this five aggregate, then you suffer, is it? For example, the first aggregate, the physical body, the human form. You say, if you think this physical body belongs to you, then you will worry about you getting sick, getting old and die. Then as you go through old age, sickness, injury and death, or pending death, there is a lot of suffering, mental fear, mental worry, anxiety. Yeah. So all this, when you have the understanding of the teaching, then you can mitigate and overcome it through an understanding or through wisdom. Then the other aggregate that we tend to attach is our feeling, our emotion. Yeah? Then everything we come to perceive. Then all our thought process, our ideology, our thinking. Then finally is everything that we come to perceive through our perception or consciousness. When we are conscious of what we see, we tend to grasp and cling onto them. When we are conscious of what we hear, we also tend to grasp and cling. That's why nice music, you get drawn towards it, positive craving. Those very harsh speech or very noisy sound, pollution and all those things, you find it very difficult to endure, or fearful vibration, howling of the dog and all those things. It triggers fear, worry, anxiety. Yeah. Then some trigger off what they call negativity or mind state, like people scold you, abuse you and all those things. Then when you smell something pungent, smelly or foul, you also have the aversion or dislike towards it. So this duality that manifests from your senses, these are mind states that will bring about like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So you attach to them, the Buddha say, the five aggregate of form and mind, they are dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity, not you. Feeling is not you, fear is not you, worry, anxiety, everything you come to perceive is just an image, not what you think. It's only consciousness. That's why the whole existence is just a phenomenal world of consciousness. Come and go, manifest, rise and pass away. That's why they exhibit the universal characteristics of impermanence, because it's dependent, originating, condition, arising. That's why it's impermanent. Dependent on condition, they arise. When condition cease to be, they cease to be. So all this, if you are a cultivator, mindful, aware, you can witness them, see them, and understand them. And they go the way of nature. They follow nature's law, the Panchaniyamas. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, then you suffer. And that is the second universal characteristics of suffering. Yeah. Because it's impermanent, it will lead to suffering. You cannot see things as they are and accept the reality for what it is. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you will suffer. And because it's impermanent, not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why it is empty, not real, not what you think, anatta, or non-self, there is a being, but it's not a permanent unchanging entity. It's not you. It is karmically conditioned out for us to come to this existential world, to go through life, to experience all of the ups and downs of life, to experience karma, to go through the karmic process, to fulfill our vows, our ambition, and to develop the cultivation, the understanding, the perfection of the teaching, so that we understand life and we can live life. So understanding the first noble truth of dukkha will lead us to the clear understanding of life. These are reality that every living being have to confront if they live life long enough. So when you confront them with wisdom, you don't suffer. We are the second noble truth. The Buddha explained very clear, there is a cause behind all this suffering, like birth, old age, sickness and death, separation from loved one, when you are with people whom you don't like, when things don't go your way. So in short, it's due to your sakayatiti that condition you to grasp and cling onto the five aggregates of form and mind that he called dukkha. So when you understand this, then you know the second noble truth, as explained by the Buddha, is that it is due to your sakayatiti, self-delusion, that condition your grasping, clinging to the five aggregate of form and mind that he called dukkha or suffering. So if I know what is suffering, and I know the cause behind suffering, then I can understand life better. I can mitigate my life so that I don't have to suffer. That's why the third noble truth is suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and now is possible. Cessation of suffering can be realized. Nibbana can be realized. Yeah. Then the Buddha never stopped there, is it? There is a fourth noble truth that explained to the cultivator. The noble eightfold path is if you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will give you the wisdom to overcome all suffering. It will lead to the end of all suffering. This is the meditation as taught by the Buddha that can lead to the wisdom to allow you to free your mind, to liberate your mind, so that whatever happened in life, in existence, you are always peaceful, happy, joyful, even while confronting death or poverty or whatever. It will not affect you if you have the Dhamma. But that is life, that is the reality. Condition like that, things will be like that. Whatever that is born is of the nature to also cease or pass away. So that which has been born has already come to pass. And the Buddha always said, no amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. Then why must you grieve over separation of a loved one? These are reality that everyone have to confront as long as you go through life long enough. And when the reality hit, it is a reality. We have to accept. Then we are at peace. Then we move on. Otherwise, you will project your thought and lament. Why like that? How come it happened to my loved one? Yeah. Then the thought will project and trigger, if I have not done this, this would not have happened. If I have not said this, this would not have happened. But these are not reality. The reality is happened already. Like car accident happened already. You get angry, no use. You blame people, no use. You have to confront it, resolve it with understanding and wisdom. That's why resolve it amicably, using the Dhamma way, which is applying the Noble Eightfold Path. Okay, we go back to the sharing. So at least I explain the Four Noble Truths. So I will continue to read on, then you understand. Affliction should not arise even when you are blown by the eight winds. So the eight winds we already know. First is gain and loss. Then happiness and sorrow. Then the praise and blame. Then fame and ill fame. So fame and ill fame, actually this one is very common. When you do well, you develop a lot of fame. People praise you. But when you do something wrong, they will punish you. And they will say a lot of bad things to you. And it develops the opposite. That's why it is a worldly condition, the four pair. So whenever you confront this, if you have the Dhamma, you will not be affected because this is reality. Even the Buddha was not free from the eight worldly conditions, especially praise and blame. Many occasions he was praised, but some occasions he was also blamed. That, like the Chincha incident and us other Jataka story. So this eight condition, Master Shenhua continued. He said, the other day I told a story about Su Tong Po. Oh, this is a famous poet. That was an example of how difficult it is to remain unmoved by the eight winds. I go back to the note. I didn't finish the notes. Okay. So here they have the explanation of Su Tong Po. The following account for Su Tong Po is adapted from the Master's commentary on the Avatamsaka Sutta, chapter 14. Su Tong Po, Su Si. Oh, during the 1037 to 1101. This one must be AD, after Anno Domini, or it's the way they label. During my time, we call it BC, before Christ, and AD, Anno Domini, or something. So it was during this 1037 to 1101, the famous poet and the scholar of the Song dynasty in China experienced some special states in meditation and composed a verse describing them. So according to this story, there is this verse from Su Tong Po. Bowing my head to the gods among gods, the light from my hair curl shines throughout the universe. The eight winds cannot move me as I sit upright on a purple golden lotus. So wishing to show off his skill, he sent his verse to his friend, the Zen master Fo Yin, abbot of Jiang Tian Monastery, also known as Gold Mountain Monastery in Zhenjiang. Zen master Fo Yin read it and wrote in a reply, Fang Pi. So he said, like sarcastically, he said, bullshit, he said, means you are you are talking rubbish, actually. It means, but in Mandarin is very good. Fang pi, means he said you farted. He said. When Su Tong Pong read this, he got so angry. He stormed across the river and asked the Zen master, "Why did you write such a word? Fang pi, fat fat, on my verse." Then the Zen master Fo Yuan replied, "I thought you said that eight winds couldn't move you. How come my two little fat is it, can blow you over across the river all the way?" So Su Tong Po realized that his skill has not really reached that level of enlightenment that can enable him to say that in the poem, that the eight wind cannot disturb him. So Su Tong Po realized that his skill couldn't match up to the Zen master. So he quickly bowed to the monk and returned home to continue cultivation. That's why through your senses you can be provocated and asana. When people say you bullshit, why you cannot take it? So the anger is there, the fire is there. Then you become emotional. That's how you can be affected. So from that joy and happiness, you become unhappy when being criticized because the personality, the ego, manifests. Okay, so now we read on. That was an example of how difficult it is to remain unmoved by the eight winds. Not to mention the eight winds, if the air in a mere breath can cause you to lose your temper, then you still have a lot to learn about the Buddha Dhamma. When you have no more afflictions, you will have obtained the benefits of the Buddha Dhamma. This is extremely important. That's why you need wisdom and mindfulness to be sensitive. In fact, after you cultivate, your heart there very sensitive. That's why you cannot do that thing anymore. No? You cannot flare anymore. You cannot be affected. No matter what happens, it is just aware there. You know? That it knows no reality. Or that it will know how to see things as they are and resolve things amicably. Even in the midst of calamity or whatever, when you have the cultivation, it will not disturb you or affect you. You have that wisdom, the clarity, the Dhamma that explain to you that all this is not what you think. He know you, he know me. That everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, come and go, as real it can be. It's only a thought. Arise and pass away. And the thought is not you. The thought is dependent, originating. Then who are you? What are you? That nature within cannot be owned. That's why you are nothing. You are nobody. But that mundane mind or the thought process, that one is subject to karma. That's how life becomes complicated. Existence becomes complicated. So inability to comprehend all this can trigger off fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Or basically is suffering. So here, Shenhua say, when you have no more affliction, you will have obtained the benefits of the Buddha Dhamma. Is very true. That's why he said this is extremely important. Therefore, it's crucial for us to cultivate patience, Ganti. But this one must come with wisdom. Without wisdom, you suppress your emotion, no use. you might think that no one criticized me, but actually many people berated me in my face. But I just let them be, letting them scold me and hitting me as they please. There was a person who often came around and bullied me until there was nothing I could do but bow to him. And he was one of my disciples, according to Xuanhua. I bow to my disciple. Now that's unheard of from ancient to modern time. But there was nothing that I, as his teacher, could do. I would rather not mention his name, or you will all start bowing to him, and that would not be good. Okay, I think we stop here. Eh? Now we come back to the second session. But before the second session, I got something to add. That story about Su Tong Po, the Pa Feng Chui Fu Tong, actually it doesn't end there. There was another part. You see, according to the Zen story, he said, this Su Tong Po, the poet, he thought he enlightened, where he got a very good meditative experience. Then, like what is described, he's like, there's a ray from the forehead here, the radiate the entire universe, and all the gods, devas, all they manifest, and like he can see them all. Then he believed he's enlightened. He said the eight wind cannot disturb him. Pa Feng Chui Fu Tong means the eight wind cannot sway or disturb him anymore. And he delivered the message over to the master, the teacher. Of course, they had to send it over the river to the island where the foreign Zen master is. So the master, being an enlightened Zen master, he knew that this guy has not realized, otherwise he wouldn't write like that. So he put the bullshit, is it? Means fang pi. In Mandarin, it's like you letting go gas. It means you are bullshitting. So when the poem reached him, he saw the comment, he was very angry. Straight away, without hesitation, he took the boat and crossed and confronted the teacher. How can you say this and write such comment below my poem? So the Zen master looked at him and said, I thought you say the eight wind cannot blow you, but I just one fart you already blown over to the my abode, the island. Then he realized he has made a big mistake. I mean, he is not there yet. Then the Zen master looked at him and said, okay, I give you another chance, he said. Then the Zen master pointed to the table. But he didn't say it's a table, he said, what is that? So this disciple, his name is Su Tong Po, so I think. He replied, you know, table lah! Gonna whack again, this time with that Zen ruler. Wow. Wow, he got so angry. How can you do that to me? He said, you say you enlightened? I ask you, what is that? You say it's a table. How can it be enlightened? We are according to the Surangama Sutta, perception of form is consciousness. I mean, you still got mundane thought process. Whereas it's non-perception is wisdom. The direct seeing, there is nothing, no word, nothing. Then he said, after I whack you, you can still get angry, you know. Your anger is still so greatly manifested now. And what type of enlightenment is this? That's why after that he toned down. He seek forgiveness, then pay his respect and left. And this Zen story was very good because the Surangama Sutta, perception of form is consciousness, whereas is non-perception is wisdom, is very profound and very beautiful, and you can understand the wisdom behind. You will really have a lot of understanding developed. Because the way our form and mind perceive things is normally through the consciousness. We don't have the direct seeing. That's why we tend to perceive through memory, we labor. Then we got concept, we got idea, we got words. So all this manifests the phenomenal world. Then we attach, we cling, we grasp, we give meaning. That's how suffering comes to be. Then we entangle ourselves and cause our own affliction through delusion. Whereas it's non-perception means, like the newborn baby, you can see things as they are. That is the reality. Condition like that, things will be like that. Then, no word, nothing. That's why we will not argue, understand? No? Because we don't labor. We don't use our own views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system to labor and describe. Then, a lot of argument already. A lot of what we call division already, discrimination. Everybody look at things, describe it differently, understand? No? Depending on your background, your training, and your understanding. Then the problem with the human mind is when you perceive something and label it, then the discriminative mind will come in and actually give rise to a lot of commentaries, or we call verbalization, and the mind will start to chatter and create meaning. And this is how the direct seeing way of seeing things is so different from the normal perception. That's the reason why in the Surangama Sutta is repeated. He said, perception of form, always remember, everything that you come to perceive within the phenomenal world, all the form, when you can label that form, means it's consciousness. It's not the direct seeing. Direct seeing don't perceive anything. Man. The pure awareness, just aware, without word, nothing. So, where is non-perception means through the pure awareness nature, the direct seeing can see things as they are, without the words, without the concept. Then the views, opinion, conditioning, and memory will not come in and interfere. Then everybody who has that ability to see it that way will have the same understanding. No matter how you describe it later using what word, if you see means you see, where you will know. That's like kan san, si san. Then second stage, kan san, bu si san. Then when you go back to normal, again, go back to normality, kan san, yu si san, means the third level of seeing is beyond duality. It's the suchness seeing. Because the first level of seeing is mundane seeing. Because mundane people see mountain as mountain. Then the second level is the enlightened beings, direct seeing. It's like kan san, bu si san, because no word, no concept. They see things as they are. Then if you have that third level of seeing, kan san, yu si san, after you transform beyond the first and second level of seeing, then at the third level of seeing, you become normal again. That's like suchness seeing. Kan san, yu si san, means whoever come to you, whether he say he see mountain or he don't see mountain, you can agree, understand? Where you have returned to normality, means suchness seeing, seeing things as they are. Okay? Now we open up for second session. So anybody wants to come in to report your meditation or to do your Dhamma sharing, you can come in. Huh? Or you got any question, you can ask. Yeah, let Alicia come in.
Kenny, 你要问老师什么 question 吗？你要问？
You can ask Kenny. You don't worry. Anything you want to develop as understanding. Well, this Buddhist teaching, 它英语懂吗？啊，不懂啊？哦，他的 English not good 啦。Oh, okay. Don't worry. Alicia can explain to you. 你有听过佛法吗？四圣谛？哦，没有听过。Then Alicia must do the explanation more, because he is totally new to even the teaching. 这个就是佛陀的教导，他们 call it 佛法啦。法你懂了啊？法，所以佛陀的法就是佛法了。And 它能够让你了解，一切生命的understand life is called。
应该说是，如果我们懂得佛法，我们就知道怎么样的去生活，生活就不一样了，不会因为小小的事情而很起很多的烦恼。
对
啊，就这样。我 Bradio, maybe 我做 sharing.
Okay, you do your sharing first.
Take a break.
Yeah, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, actually, Bradio, 当我第一次来 Bradio 这边，我也好像 Kenny 这样，什么也不懂，英语也不懂，因为毕竟我从来就没有听过什么是佛法，但是随着 Brother Liu 的 guidance 一步一步的就去理解我们生活里面很多的点点滴滴，所有的烦恼都是源自于我们自己的一个念头或者一个想法，因为我们不知道我们想要的，所谓的我们想要的其实跟 reality 是不一样的。现实里面很多我们所追求的东西其实是不现实的，只是一个梦幻罢了。
Yes.
很多时候我们想着其实我们已经拥有很多了，可是我们还在追求
啊。对，
拥有了太多太多的到最后我们心里面还是空空的，就是比方说以前我也是很追求什么名牌啊什么、
yeah.
什么，但是纵然你有那些名牌，但是里面心里面还是空荡荡的，因为你没有真正实实的明白到所谓的生命的意义啊。
对
那生命就是我们应该去理解我们这个所谓的 form and mind 应该的怎么样的去这个色身应该的怎么样的去应用它，所有的念头我们要怎样的去面对它，就慢慢的就你就理解到那个念头就是这个一个念头，
对
你根本不用理会它
啊，
就是慢慢的但我可以讲说 Bradio 讲的法是因为他在就是要融入生活里面嘛，所以我就做一个我最近的一个我的 cultivation， 就是我经历很多的，就是我又要顾就是我要顾我的 我的女儿的东西 然后我又要 plan 我的那个旅途的的 schedule，
对
然后又要加上很多的因素，所以在里面你会看到哦就加上我的那个 farmhouse 的东西嘛，所以三四样东西在一起，还有加上一点点的工作，
就不容易，
你会觉得哎。哇，好像满脑子的东西就在那边。但是有一天我的工人问我，你的屋顶你要怎么做啊？我说我不知道该怎么做，我就 try to 用我的那个 thought 去就是我的想法去理解，但是我觉得很苦，Bradio 他就是 不能就去一直想，
对，
他再也不可以用这个想法的去一直怎样的去解决，
analyze, 去 analyze,
然后我就把它放一边，然后该做什么就做，
嗯，
然后到我们出去去了吃了饭回来，然后当我一坐下来的时候，我抬头一看哦，哎，我终于理解什么，就是说。它好像这个 clutter 这个，
呀呀呀呀，
它这个什么云叫散开
来的，
它全部没有了，然后你就
它在行运啊，在那边跑动跑动，
对，它就没有了，然后你就知道怎样去解决，
对对对，
就是 Krishnamurti Code 的那个、The problem unfold
itself
啊，我就终于明白了，
呀呀，
所以这个里面呢，就是我理解到很多事情，当我们不能解决的时候。Of course, 我不能说我不能解决，我就丢开它。不是，你暂且把它就是
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
静下来，
yeah, yeah.
然后慢慢的去解决。它就是给你 understand 到，其实当下你的所谓的你要解决，你用你的 thought 你是解决
不
了，不
行的，
你解决不了。
但是你一定要有 clarity 啊，那个正念啊 ，awareness 啊，那个 awareness 啊 must be there。那个 awareness 在那边的时候啊。你就能够看到清清楚楚，是吧 ？Otherwise 啊，你去 worry 的时候啊，你去烦他啦，你去 create fear 啦，恐惧啊，或者 ，but all this cloud your mind one 哦 ，actually 迷路，开拓你的那个 nature 啊，让你好像啊 ，lost in thought 啊 ，lost in the emotion 啊 ，worry 啊，你去烦哦 ，instead of面对他，接受他 ，then resolve it 啊 ，resolve it 就，解决问题啊，instead of 解决问题啊，你去抓住他呢，你去烦他，去 worry about it 哦，去 attach to it 啊 ，and give it a lot of 那个 wrong thought 啊。你 create 那个邪念啊 ，which is not conducive for your understanding 啊，比如你没有静下来啊，你看不到的。And human being 的 problem 啊，众生的烦恼、苦跟问题跟 affliction 啊 ，comes about because they hold on to the problem， 他没有解决问题，他没有那个 contentment 啊，知足啊。知足啊，那 if you don't have contentment, then you always 有那个嗔恨心哦 ，you always want to compare， 跟人家比啦，为什么他们可以买名牌啦，为什么我不能啊？为什么我的父亲这样呢 ？So all these are your wrong thought creating your own affliction and suffering， 因为你不懂得怎样去用那个。思想啊，哦，那个念头啊 ，it's only a thought， 没错。那个念头啊 ，arise and pass away means， arise and pass away in Mandarin called 啊，生灭生灭 ，it's only a thought no， means 一个念头罢了咯，现起来 ，then 灭掉。But 为什么？众生会无明道 ，like allow the thought to have such power over you， 能够弄到你这么辛苦、这么苦、这么多恐惧 ，fear、worry、anxiety。Sorry， it's only a thought. Who give that thought that power? Because living being through their own delusion 自作。没有那个 clarity of mind， 看不到那个五蕴是空性的，看不到那个 universal characteristics 是无常、苦我。Because of that, they get themselves entangled through security, self delusion， 那个你我相啊 ，become very aggressive， and then 你我相啊，他会去 cling 的，他会去 grab 的，And 你有了你我相啊，那个贪嗔痴就现出来了。Yeah. Because when the ego arises, the personality arises, you believe you are real, you exist. So this personality will make you want to own thing, want to have thing, want to grasp onto thing, and develop all the delusion. So what you do is the greed, the selfishness, the craving, the desire, the lust, all manifest from there because you believe you exist, you are real. And 这个就是佛法讲执着，执着 is grasping, clinging, craving, desire. Yeah. 你了解了佛法 ，actually think is just the way it is. 那个是真谛 ，the reality. The reality 是因缘法吗？因缘和合吗？Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. Just like the Diamond Sutta say, 一切与为法，如梦幻泡影。Because within our existential world, conditioned world, everything is dependent originating or condition arising. Because it's a conditioned world. Dependent on condition, they arise. When condition cease to be, they cease to be.When condition continue to sustain itself, it continue to sustain itself as if it exists, it's real. But when condition cease to be, it cease to be. So if it's such, then why do we deludedly grasp and cling? Where everything is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of knowledge. That's why in the Mahayana teaching, under the Diamond Sutta, 金刚经啊 that four line stanza is very good. 一切有为法，如梦幻泡影，如露亦如电，应作如是观。Because everything within the conditioned world is dependent originating, condition arising phenomena. And because it is like that,That's why it is not a reality, not what you think. So the stanza that says 如梦 means dreamlike. 幻 is illusion. Then 幻想的幻、yeah? Then 泡 is bubble,、yeah? like the feeling. Pop gone like a bubble, burst gone. Then like a shadow that never leaves you. So,All this got no reality. That's why it's dreamlike, then illusionary, then it is like a bubble and a shadow. Then sometimes it lasts longer, sometimes it's very fast. Zu lu yi lu tian means like a morning dew, it may last for a while, but when the sun rises,The dew is gone. Or it's like a lightning flash. It's gone already. Moment to moment, it's gone. Just like what we have gone through. The only reality in life is the present moment. The past is already gone, not a reality. Future yet to come, also not a reality. So the only reality in life is the present moment. But we have to...Be mindful of the present moment. When we are mindful of the present moment, we ask ourselves, what is the present moment? The moment you talk about this moment is dead and gone, understand not? Yeah? The present moment is moment to moment, life passes by. And that is the only reality. What are you doing? If the present moment also is so transient, understand not?Arise and pass away. Arise and pass. And this is the only reality. So how real can life be? When you see this with your awareness, 正念, you will wake up. Then you realize every moment is just a thought. Arise and pass away. Arise and pass away. And all these thoughts are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena.That's why you will see the Paticca Samuppada, 十二因缘法. Then you will understand clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. And from there, you will awaken and you will understand life deeply, clearly. And through the awakening, you become different, you become transformed. Then nothing in this world can cause you delusion, can delude you and cause you suffering or misery. Then you can live life. You can develop the clear understanding of life. Then life become meaningful, beautiful. Yeah. And you can really get to realize the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Then from that moment onward, your life change. You become totally different. That everything is just the way it is. No more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more problem. And this is what the teaching is. Then it is also like, to me, the Buddha's teaching, Fopa, is like the secret of life. Sen Ming the secret is called Mia. Pimia. The secret of life. So when you understand the secret of life, you understand life, then you know how to live life. Later maybe Alicia explained to Kenny on the way back, because I English educated, my Mandarin very limited. And I find it not easy to put into words because of the limited vocabulary. Yeah. But those that I heard before and I used before, I can use it to explain and hopefully make it clearer for people. That's why this segmented life mission is to help the English educated one mainly. But I have to know a little bit of Mandarin, so that I can interact with people who use Mandarin. Yes, there are also many like Alicia's case, and quite a number, I think. They are more fluent in the Mandarin language because they are from Chinese school, I realize. And when they read the Mandarin, it helps in the understanding. But the Mandarin would really stand out. Especially the Dhamma shared in the Mahayana tradition, Mandarin teaching, they really stand up. Then if you develop the real cultivation, you can really awaken and it become like so clear. Although I English educated, but very funny, this life, I never really have a formal Chinese education. Since Standard 1 until university, I was all English educated. I only studied the POL, People's Own Language. I think Standard 4 onward, I think. I got 1 week, one lesson. For Standard 4, Standard 5, Standard 6. After that, I never have any Mandarin education. And the funny thing is, when I learn the Mandarin, I find it so easy to like pick it up. But I go by listening. You ask me to write, I cannot. I can only recognize some word, but ask me to write, I cannot. Yeah. Maybe my own Mandarin name, I know how to write. And that one my father teach me. So what is important is, later on after I did the cultivation, then I actually was listening to Master Xuan Hua. Xuan Hua Shanglen. The Mandarin he speak, according to my wife, is the China type one. Very different one. But very funny, you know. I English educator, I listen. When he speak the Dhamma, I can understand him. Very funny. And I like very attentive, you know, like there is a lot of Dhamma inside there, you know, and my nature can like understand, you know, and you just go in on it. Yeah. That's why some of the word I use is I heard from him. So all this, hopefully, it can help those Mandarin educated one to develop clearer understanding. Very good, Alicia. You continue. Have you 10 minutes?
Yeah, brought you. 其实，在生活里面要就看到你的功夫。
对。
因为你当你在处理事情的时候，你能不能很怎样讲，很坦然的去面对，不被他所干扰。
对。
就是做不了的就先放下来，然后第二天你可能你有一个更清晰的脑袋，
对，
然后你就把事情就好好的做。
对，
这个是我想在这个磨练里面呢，我要学习到的东西，
对，
不会说事情太多搞到你很乱。
不会的，因为
这样子，
你有了那个佛法的 understanding 啊 ，and 正念啊。你 you become different 了呢，你整个人呢，来那个脑袋上面呢很轻松的，没有东西能够烦你哦，让你 worry 哦，不会的，你有 clarity， because 那个正念呢，真的它是 without thought 了，没有念头了，它是一个正念来的哦， an awareness 哦， and the awarenessis the true mind, 真心啊。And the true mind has the ability to see things as they are. 因为你没有那个 worry 啦 anxiety 啦 the analysis 啦那个 wrong thought 啦。So 你有那个 clarity 啊。So when you have the clarity, you can see things clearly 啊。When you can see things clearly, then 你可以 inquire 啊。What actually happened? Then 你会去看到清清楚楚啊，你就懂得怎样去处理、去解决那个问题哦。你不会去烦哦，不会给他影响到去 hold on to it and worry about it. That is the big difference between the cultivator and the non. The non-cultivator will hold on to the problem, hold on to the wrong thought, the mental, and say, "This is my problem."这个是我的问题 ，actually 没有问题的。If you perceive things with negativity, then it become a problem. 比如你去 worry about it 嘛，If you don't worry about it, 你就接受 ，like I said just now, the first noble truth reality. These are reality of life and existence. 哦，每个人都要面对的。为什么我们不能够面对？面对了就去处理哦，解决问题咯。And 解决问题很容易的。You no need to like worry, 哎哟我不懂，我不知道怎样去处理哦。现在的年代啊，有那个 internet 啊，哦你去问朋友哦，我啦，很多人会给你意见的，好的意见的，那你自己有了佛法，你能够遇到那些人啊，他们讲是贵人啊，会帮你的啊。不过你没有 take care of karma 啊，你如果乱敲人骗人啊，搞那个不三不四的 ，the karma 我带你去荷兰了呢，你也是会遇到那些骗你的啦。你前世因怎样去骗人，怎样去害人，你就遇到那些人，他。就是 like do the same to you， 种因结果咯，If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. If you plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. 就好像你吸毒啊，get involved with the drugs and all those things.So maybe this line you become the pusher, 你去吸毒，然后 so in future, when the karmic repercussion come, you become the victim. 人家会卖那个 drug to you, 你会遇到那些吸毒的人啊。Because this is what we call karma. 种因结果，种善因结善果，种恶因结恶果。Then Master Xuan Hua, my refuge teacher, he always warned the cultivator and the human being, he said, 你了解了那个因果的道理了，最重要就是不要种错因结错果。That is the most important advice. Don't plant the wrong seed and reap the wrong fruit. That's why 了解了因果，你就懂得怎样去处理你的 life, 你的生命。Otherwise not easy. Because everything you do, the law of karma is very fair. It will manifest back exactly the same way. What you do to people, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. And 这个道理没得改的，因为它是因缘法，它是 the law of karma, 因果轮回。So what is important for him to understand is this teaching, Fofa, can help living being understand life, live life, and be free from all suffering.
Yeah, brother, actually, 我其实我是最好的一个见证。其实我也是从 depression 走出来。
对，16年。
在 depression 的我忧郁症的那一段时间，我的生活是非常非常的痛苦的。
是了，
而且你的头这边每天很重，
对，
因为它很多那个
念头。Then gastric 啊，
生病啊，
还有
所有
的
一切。所以佛法对我来讲是一个非常，我也不能用言语去表达，但是它就是很奥妙和
对。
很珍贵，很珍惜。对我来讲，我这一世人能够遇到 Brother Dew， 能够接触佛法，还有我的贵人
Vincent，
他们带我来这边。
对，
所以我也希望Kenny 在这里受益，因为真的，因为只要我们跟着佛陀的教导，然后 Brother Dew 的 guidance 啊，就我们就能够，因为他第一个那个六度波罗蜜，我们从布施开始，
对，
就然后持戒，然后慢慢你就会知道这个整个的佛法的奥妙。
对，
希望大家也能够 benefit from。感恩大家，阿弥陀佛。
阿弥陀佛，好啊，你佛陀的古道 Mandarin 那个话，你也是本来呀。那个是本好 Kenny 给 Kenny， 那个是 Mandarin 华语版，你去读啊，那本书不错啊，然后你就能够了解我。But what I explain is in English, it is not easy for him. But as he read through 那佛陀的古道的 Buddha's ancient path, then 他问你。Can we discuss, then he will understand more. Okay, very good.
Yeah, brother, 那我第一次来，你也是给我那本书。
对，我也是给你那本书。
非常好的一本书。
感恩。佛陀的古道。So let us rejoice. Sadhu. Okay, so now we will share merit, transfer merit, then we will end the whole sharing session. Akasata Chirbumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyantang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Etta Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabasampati Siddhya อิดังเมญาติดังโหตุสุขิตาหันตุญาตโยอิดังเมญาติดังโหตุสุขิตาหันตุญาตโยอิดังเมญาติดังโหตุสุขิตาหันตุญาตโยเดโววัสสตุกาเลนะสาสสัมปติเหตุเชภิโตบาวะตุโลโกเชราชาบาวะตุดัมมิโกอิมินาปุญญังคามินามาเมบาลาสมากโมสัตตังสมากโมโหตุยาวานิวานาปาติยาสาธุสาธุสาธุOkay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Let me end the whole session. Thank you. Sadhu.